Hi everyone, we are continuing between John chapter 3, and today we'll be looking at John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. For whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Right, so yesterday we talked about the beginning of this conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the dark, right, at night, not wanting other people to know that he's going to Jesus. And Jesus tells him about how he and us too, that there's this need to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God, to be, you know, in heaven, to be with God. And what we talked about yesterday is about how complete and paradigm shifting this is, to be born again. In some ways, Nicodemus was just trying to like dabble in following Jesus, right? Or just dabble in knowing God's kingdom. But Jesus was pointing out that you have to go all the way. There has to be a complete transformation in order to know of the things of God. Now, we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, but if Jesus stopped there, it would leave us all in a bit of a catch-22. In some ways, what Jesus is saying in the first part of John 3 is that it's like, in order to be my friend, you have to speak the same language as me. But the only way you can speak the same language as me is that you have to be my friend, right? It's like that kind of catch-22, because you can't do either without either. And so in some ways he's saying we can only understand the deeper truths of God's kingdom if we're born again. But really, in order to be born again, you have to understand the deeper truths of God's kingdom, right? Like that's how this works. But Jesus presents this catch-22 of sorts. But really the beauty of what is happening here is that Jesus himself is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus tells us in this passage how it can happen, how we can be born again, how we can be part of God's kingdom. It happens as the Son of Man is lifted up. Jesus references Numbers 21 here, where just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Again, that's Numbers 21. And in Numbers 21, the people of Israel, they sinned again in the wilderness. And God punished them with fiery serpents. So fiery serpents came out and they were biting the people. And in order to be healed after being bit by these serpents, what God told Moses to do was to make a fiery serpent out of bronze and put up on a pole. And in order for people to be healed, they had to look up at the bronze serpent that Moses made. Now, it's a pretty weird story, and it's kind of strange that Jesus references it here in some ways, but it makes more sense as you understand it. These Israelites in Numbers 21, to find healing from their affliction, they had to look at a picture of their affliction, an embodiment, a like caricature, if you will, right? An embodiment of their affliction, the actual serpent on a stick, pretty much. They had to look up and be reminded of the curse they had received. And the reason Jesus mentions this is that in order for us to find healing from our afflictions, from our sin, we have to look up to someone who is the embodiment of our sin and our affliction. And so the way that we can have access to God is through Jesus, who is lifted up on the cross, as he embodied our sin and suffered and died for our sin. Jesus became, who knew no sin, he became sin for us. He took on our sin. He received the curse of our sin on the cross. And just as John 3:16 tells us, this famous verse, this is God's love demonstrated for us, that he gave us Jesus, through whom we can believe and have eternal life. Jesus was sent to us not that we would be condemned, but that we could be saved as he was condemned upon the cross. And because of what he has done, we can have an eternal life with God. This is the good news of the gospel, is that God sent Jesus to us so that we could be saved. Now, in the second half of this passage, verses 18 through 21, there's more. It's not enough that we like marvel at this good news. Jesus tells us we have to believe. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned, is what Jesus says. We have to look to Jesus and trust in Jesus with our lives. It's not a halfway thing. We must love the light. He says, he gives this parallel between light and dark again. This is a big theme. This is a theme of the Gospel of John, if you remember reading the beginning of John 1. But also, Nicodemus, remember, is coming to Jesus at night in fear, in shame, in hiding, but with some curiosity. And what Jesus is saying is, you have to come into the light. It must be clearly seen that your life is about Jesus. It's about following the light, about not about giving up of sinful and wicked ways, and instead going towards the light and being exposed to the world. The world can see the goodness of Jesus in our lives. This is what our lives are meant to be like as we follow this good news. The takeaways here are pretty clear, I think, for us, is that we need to trust in Jesus, look to that cross, know not just that it's like something that Jesus did and all we're all fine now, just know that our sin was on that cross, that Jesus took on the curse that we deserved. We need to keep on remembering this. But as we remember, it's not enough to just say, wow, that's great, and move on with our lives. We need to love being with Jesus, being in the light, not living in fear or shame of what people might think of us, but living with our lives exposed to the world, showing the world how great this Jesus is in our lives. Let us pray that we can live with that kind of faith. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice, for this love that you've shown us. And we confess we're not perfect, that we are in need of forgiveness, because we often don't love being in the light. But I pray all the more we will recognize this grace and this love that we have received. And as that happens, may our lives be a reflection of the light, of the goodness, of your goodness, Jesus, in our lives. Bless us, Lord. Give us greater faith. Help us go deeper as we're born again, as we experience this paradigm-shifting transformation in our lives. We thank you, Jesus. Bless us, Lord. In your name we pray.